Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, August the 27th, 2026, 18 and a half minutes past the hour. Glad to be with you on this Thursday morning. The week is almost over. And let me tell you the kind of morning that I am having so far, because I might be glad that this week is almost over after this morning. I get up this morning, and I go to McDonald's, and you know, school's back in, so that's a mess anyways, when you go to McDonald's in the morning. All summer long, no lines, easy to get in and out, no problem at all. So I pull into McDonald's this morning to get my large Diet Coke, and the line is all the way out to the entrance. So you know it's going to be a little bit of time there. Now, I'll say the line was moving fairly quickly, but you know, I sat there for quite a while, and I would say probably 15 minutes. I finally get up to the speaker, and I enter my McDonald's code, so I get my beverage for a dollar, and the lady says, we don't have any soft drinks this morning. Oh, we're out of Diet Coke is basically what she said. So I said, well, that's all I wanted, so I guess we're in trouble here. And then she says, do you still want to use your code? Now, my code was for a dollar soft drink. Now, I guess I could have gotten another soft drink. I didn't go that far to see if they had any other soft drinks, but basically, they had nothing. Now, the line was still very long, so getting out of the line, because I was in the inside lane, became quite an episode, but I eventually got out of the line after a 15-minute wait, probably closer to a 20-minute wait by the time I had ordered and worked my way out of the line. So I go up the street, and lo and behold, there is the Duke Station, near the boulevard. Now, I don't think I've ever been in there, to be honest with you. I went in there this morning and got a large diet drink. I believe it's large diet Pepsi. They have much bigger drinks there, by the way. And I think they're around the same price. I think this was $2.12 this morning for the double XL drink this morning. Very nice people in there. And they actually have a lot of stuff in there. They have a lot of breakfast foods that are being cooked fresh. They have a lot of donuts. They have a nice little area where you can sit and talk to people, a couple tables. You know, this is probably what I'll do in retirement. I'll just get up every morning, go to the Duke shop, get a beverage, maybe a breakfast sandwich, and sit in the little dining area there. But I got my drink there, but I was running a little bit behind, although I did get here this morning within plenty of time, probably 10 to 15 minutes before the show started, even though I had to stop, get out of my car, and do the whole thing. So I think I might have a whole new morning routine now. I might just drive down to that Duke, because to be honest with you, there was nobody in there. It was very easy to get my drink. The drink is bigger. It costs about the same. I got in and out very easy. Might be a whole new thing. I'll have to get out of the car and get away from the drive-thru, but that's no biggie. So that was how my morning started this morning. A few other things I wanted to say. Let's see here. Oh, the death of Tim Curry yesterday. You know, we're all talking about the death of Dolly Parton. And I actually saw this morning when I got out of the car and went into Duke this morning, I saw Dolly Parton's picture on the cover of the USA Today, big picture, and Tim Curry kind of over to the side. Tim Curry was one of the great actors of all time, truly. I said yesterday, Home Alone 2 is a better movie for me than Home Alone 1 because of Tim Curry. Tim Curry is the butler and the star of the movie Clue. I think Clue is one of the great movies of all time. I've always liked that movie. A matter of fact, when I was a kid, back in the days of VHS tapes, it was hard to find Clue. And there was one video store that had Clue in Marion where I would rent and watch it. And any time it would come on HBO or one of those channels, I would make sure I watched Clue. And everybody knew that I loved that movie. I still love that movie to this day, although I have not seen it for a while. I'm going to have to watch it now in memory of Tim Curry. But he was a great actor. He was in some movies, The Worst Witch with Charlotte Ray. That's become a cult classic during Halloween time. And ironically, he died at 80 yesterday, or I believe he died at 80 on Tuesday. He suffered a stroke about 12, 13 years ago. That was a very, very, very severe stroke that left him in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And I got to thinking about that yesterday after we did that interview with Buckeye Guy. So I just wanted to say, sorry to hear of the death of Tim Curry. I know he was also in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. To be honest with you, I've never seen that movie. I mean, I've seen clips of it like everybody else has. That movie has no appeal to me. I know it's a great movie. People like to go to midnight watchings of it on college campuses and things of that nature. I've never seen the movie. It's one of those movies that I've never seen, like I've never seen The Godfather. People are always shocked by that. I've never seen any of those. I've never seen any of the Star Wars movies beginning to end. People are always shocked by that. But I've never seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show all the way through. All I've seen is clips, and to be honest with you, the clips don't do anything for me. But Home Alone 1 is obviously a very good movie. But Home Alone 2, when they go to New York, and Tim Curry portrays the desk clerk at the Palace Hotel, to me, makes it a better movie than the first movie. So, sorry to hear of his death. Now, wanted to talk about the interview we did with Buckeye Guy yesterday on the show. Buckeye Guy suffered a stroke about a week ago yesterday, a matter of fact. And when he got on the air, he was having some trouble expressing himself. And obviously, if you've known somebody who had a stroke, that can happen. But as I said yesterday, before we went on the air, he was much more verbal. I did get a chance to call him off the air last night. And I'm not going to say that his speech is perfect. It is not. But talking to him off the air is a little easier right now than on the air. And I do think he'll be back up and running after a period of time. So I did want to let everybody know I talked to him. You know, I think he was a little worried about how he sounded, but I told him about the calls that came after and people sharing their instances of having strokes and things of that nature. And I don't think he wants to step away from the public life. So, you know, I think he was okay with the interview yesterday, so I was happy about that. And we hope Buckeye Guy gets better very soon. And he said, when are you going to have me on again? And I said, well, let's see how things go, and when we have an update, we'll have you back on the program. So I was happy to talk with him after the show. I didn't get a hold of him until last night because obviously he's doing therapy and things of that nature. But I was able to speak with him late last night, and we wish him the best. Now, also, we had a question on the program yesterday about recycling in Marion. A matter of fact, we had a few calls about this. And somebody said, what happens to the recycling now when you drop it off at the drop-off location. And I called the city garage, and I got a call back at actually 6:30 this morning. And what happens with your recycling now is it goes to Rumkey's Center. Now the person thought the center was in Westerville, so that's where it goes. But they weren't sure that the Rumkey Center was in Westerville, that is the location where Rumkey takes it. But that is where your recycling goes now when you drop it off at the downtown location, per the person running things at that location. So, it goes to Rumkey. Now, we'll open up the phone lines now that I've done my 10 minutes this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We had a lot of great calls yesterday, and actually a lot of first-time callers, which I really do enjoy, or maybe second-time callers. It's always hard to tell. I can't really remember those things, but I always appreciate the people who call in. So, now that we know what happens to your recycling, does anybody have anything to say? Goes to Rumkey in Westerville, we think, but is still being transported to a recycling center. Also, the death of Tim Curry, if somebody would like to say something in regard to that. We can still talk about the death of Dolly Parton. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. Strokes in the interview we did with Buckeye Guy yesterday. I think that certainly is fair game and on the agenda this morning. Has anybody else run into going to a restaurant this morning and not being able to get the beverage of their choice? I certainly have had that problem already. Interestingly enough, when I went into the Duke this morning, the front page of the Marion Star, kind of over to the side, but it says, Flock Veto Stands. That's the big headline in the Marion Star today. Flock Veto Stands. So, at this point, I guess it does. And that, of course, has continued to be a major topic of conversation. And we started talking the other day about the DORA. Legislation that allows you to take an alcoholic beverage out of a restaurant downtown and take it into another business within a certain area, if that business permits that. Now, the DORA, again, is in front of city council at this point, and one of the problems is the people who own businesses, churches and things of that nature in downtown Marion, feel they were not informed properly when the DORA first became a thing in downtown Marion a few years ago. So, is the DORA a good thing? Is it a bad thing? We had a little bit of conversation about this a couple days ago. People were interested in it then, but I didn't hear too much about it yesterday. But here we are, and it continues to be a topic of discussion, I think. So, if you have anything to say about recycling, if you have anything to say about the DORA, if you have anything to say about the Flock Veto, Tim Curry's death, Dolly Parton's death, recycling going to Rumkey, any of these things are open for conversation this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We would love to talk with you. Now, as I said recently, I can't remember if I said it yesterday or the day before, I think the city council meetings are becoming a little bit of a show. People live streaming during the meetings, people getting kicked out of the meetings. I'm not sure what needs to be done to fix this problem. Now, I've been advocating for a while now of no longer live streaming these events and making them available to the public a couple days after the meeting actually happens, because that would force people to go if they wanted to see what was going on in real time. And I think it would cut down on some of the exhibitionism that seems to be going on in these meetings. And to be honest with you, I'm not really sure why this flock camera issue has brought this out, but it is interesting how it has gotten very quiet after Monday's vote to not overturn the mayor's veto. I think it's very interesting that it's kind of went by the wayside. I think people are still trying to play it up. I think people are still trying to run with it because people like to view it and they like to get likes and all that sort of thing. But it really has kind of taken a back seat. Now, that could be because it will be back in front of legislation and codes on, I believe it'll be September, the 8th? Because there is no council meeting this coming Monday, because it's the fifth Monday of August, and the following Monday is Labor Day. So I think it's Tuesday the 8th will be the next meeting of committees of Marion City Council, and Flock will be in front of that committee. But what are the safeguards going to be? You know, that's a big question right now. What are the safeguards for the Flock system going to be? What legislation is going to be proposed, and will it be accepted on all sides? It seems like now a compromise is going to have to be made. After we have went through the vote to get rid of the Flock cameras, we've went through the mayor's veto, we've went through the possibility of overturning the mayor's veto, which did not happen, and now the legislation will be back in front of legislation and codes. What is going to be the common ground here, I think, is a big, big question. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
As always.
What's this free city recycling drop-off? Is that Mandami from New York City coming to Marion to give free stuff out?
No, I believe that's Mayor Collins.
And, gee whiz, how can we afford that? You know, it's like I mentioned yesterday. You know, they need to find a private contractor, whether it's Sims or whomever, and set dumpsters up at the schools, if the schools want that, so that the proceeds from recycling goes directly to the particular school that has those containers for recyclables. Government should keep its hands out of it. Government does nothing but screw up and cost and cost and cost. As I have mentioned before, council with can do. When the wonderful mayor wanted to take jobs and economic development and make it a government entity. What government entity has ever been self-sustaining?
I'm not sure.
None.
Right, but
none of them.
Right, but is the purpose of a government entity to be self-sustaining?
It should be a goal. It shouldn't be an ever-ending to infinity burden upon the taxpayers.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying, and I hear what you're saying. I've always thought, and I think most people have always thought, that if the government creates a program that is going to be run by the government, just by the nature of it, as any business, you're going to have personnel who are running it, and the likelihood of it being self-sustaining is unlikely because the government is running it because the private sector chooses not to run it.
No, I don't think that the private sector has necessarily been offered the opportunity to run it. Private enterprise will make a profit.
So what
private enterprise can break even?
Right. But so what private, what part of government has it taken over and not run a profit on that the private sector wanted to run a profit on?
Ask that question again.
Well, you said that you're not sure that the private sector has not wanted to run these entities.
We don't know that the private sector has ever been offered to run any governmental program.
Right, so what program...
There's always a governmental program that's out there that supposedly creates jobs, but yet it exponentially grows debt.
Right, so
the
what
taxpayers have to subsidize.
Right, so what would be one of those programs that would be better off run privately?
Recycling. Hello?
Well, I understand what you're saying about recycling, but I don't think the city runs recycling. I think the city is paying for recycling. I think Rumkey's a private business.
Then why do we hear free city recycling drop-off, 960 West Center Street?
Well, because the city is offering that to the people as a free service.
Well, I don't see any name, whether it's Rumkey, whether it's Sims, or anything else.
Well, no,
and
that's...
what is this property at 960 West Center Street?
No, that's...
Which property is that?
That's the city, but the city as
that's
a...
That's the city's.
Right. But the city as a service...
And is that not the city garage?
It is.
It is. So it's on city property.
Right. But
somebody has to oversee that.
They do.
And it's on city property, so right there is a cost.
Right.
Whereas if the city schools said, yes, that sounds like a good idea, put a dumpster at all of the schools in the Marion City school systems, and a private enterprise takes care of it, and whatever proceeds there are from recycling, those individual schools get the proceeds.
Right, but I guess...
Get the government the hell out of it.
Right, but I think the point here is that the city is not recycling the goods that people are bringing in. They're just serving as the middle person to get them to Rumkey.
And that's one of the problems. The city needs to keep their nose out of it.
Right.
There are more important things, such as the budget, such as the financial situation we're in now. By having a central location, do you think somebody's going to come all the way from the West End or the East End, North End or South End to one location? Whereas we have schools that are out among the neighborhoods, which would make it much easier for those communities, those neighborhoods, to access.
Right, and I think the county schools do have recycling centers.
Well, fine, but we're talking about the city, and that's the way that they need to give it a shot. If it doesn't work, then it doesn't work, and we don't have to worry about recycling because we're going to end up paying extra for the sanitation costs, etc.
Right. Well, but here's, I guess this is the point I'm trying to get to, is that Rumkey obviously is charging for this service, I would guess. I doubt that they're doing it for free. But that was the whole problem with the recycling program in general. When it was started with the city, it was making the city money because they were being paid to recycle. By the time the program got to the end, that was no longer the case. The city was having to pay to recycle the things that they were recycling. So I think the city's... Let me finish up here. Hold on. Let me finish this point, and then you can come in. The final point, I believe, is people are angry in the city. I've heard them at the meetings that their sanitation bills have went up, and they're eliminating a service like recycling that they want in the city. So I think the city's meeting those people in the middle because their sanitation rates have gone up is saying, we can't afford to send the recycling trucks out anymore. That's too much money. But if you drop it off, we will still recycle it for you because you do pay a sanitation bill, and it is higher than it was at the beginning of the year. That's their stance.
Just shy of $50. Now, for someone who doesn't have that much refuse, that's outrageous. But the fact of the matter is, it needs to be held privately. The city should not be handling that. They need to get a private entity because it's still costing the city. The fact of the matter was, with the recycling truck, how many of those trucks did they have? Did they have just one?
I believe so.
If they only had just one of those recycling trucks, and how many employees drove that truck?
There weren't a whole lot of employees in that department. Because
let's say there were three people. Give them three people, okay? Now the salaries, benefits, and the maintenance of that truck, plus the gas and everything else, you got to check the numbers.
Right.
Because if they didn't at least break even, it's a losing proposition.
That's why they eliminated it.
Well, it should have been eliminated some time ago. But to try to do what they're doing now with one location, it's doomed to failure. People are lazy. You give them incentive that has potential benefits for the schools in their neighborhood and private enterprise, if some private enterprise wants to take it over, so be it. But
right.
It's worth a shot to right. do that versus hoping people will come from one location, which would be inconvenient, to think that it's going to be successful.
But I think here's the problem that the city would face in that. Sanitation bills are not going to go down. So if the city said, not only are we not going to send the trucks out anymore, we're not going to take your recycling at a city location, and we're not going to recycle it for you, we're going to turn that over to a private entity, but your bills are staying the same.
Well, then why have recycling on city property?
Because, as I said, when they raised the fee for sanitation and eliminated the service of picking up your recycling at your door, I think they still wanted to offer some service because the bills went up.
Well, I would like to know. My understanding is the mayor increased that, right?
Yes.
I would like to know how he arrived at that number. I can't believe that he is an astute individual of calculus.
I believe he said it was the, I don't want to misquote him, but it was something to the effect of it had not been raised for a number of years, and based upon the percentages of what it should have been raised, that's where the number came from.
That's stupid leadership.
Well, that's, I think...
stupid leadership. Hey, that's where we got, you know, love your city. You know, one of the things, Marion has a bad reputation now, and one of the things that wonderful Mr. Bodine left us with is that hideous logo. That is the ugliest damn thing I've ever seen. And I can say that that's ugly and hideous because of the aesthetic. I happen to have a background in art and aesthetic. That logo is the pits.
Well, it's what we got.
So anyways, for Dolly Parton.
Yes.
Dolly Parton, I don't think anyone who had ever seen her, even through the television, in that. She put a smile on everybody's face. And I'm kind of curious. I got to believe she probably never, maybe she said a swear word, but very far and few between. But she was certainly had a unique voice and a unique personality. And her glow, I think, put a smile on everybody's face.
Well, I think she was an entertainer. I think that's the goal, hopefully.
Yep, to a better tomorrow.
All right, thank you. All right, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, to have these discussions, I can only tell you what I'm aware of and what I've learned. And we did have the conversation yesterday on recycling. I said I would get the answer that people wanted. Where does the recycling go now? That's dropped off at the drop-off location here in Marion. And I was told that it goes to Rumkey for recycling. So that's the situation as it is now. Phone lines are open. What do we got? 48 minutes past the hour here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But again, I think the city would probably have faced some problem if they would have eliminated curbside recycling and not offered a solution when people's sanitation bills were raised. I think that was a problem that the city had to deal with, and they dealt with it in this way. And how many people drop off the recycling, I don't know, but clearly some people do. We found out yesterday some of our listeners do. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. So we've got that issue. We've got the DORA, which we can continue to talk about. Do people really want the DORA? Obviously, this is something that is geared toward downtown, specifically. I don't know. I don't know. Do people want that legislation? Is that something that helps the businesses in downtown Marion? It has upset some people. I think that's why this legislation is being looked at again. But is it a good idea on the whole? I think a lot of interesting conversation has come of this. Should there be the ability to have a drink, leave the establishment, and go into another business in downtown Marion, depending on where it is? Okay, here we go. From one of our listeners out here this morning. This is one listener, then we'll go to another. There isn't any parking in City School parking lot as it is. So there's a response to the idea of turning it over to the city schools. Now, from one of our other listeners out there this morning, I'm not sure how the schools could benefit from having the recycling at each school. It would cause excess traffic at the schools and take up space, and would Rumkey pay the school to pick up the articles or have the schools have to pay them to pick it up? I'm still unsure how that works. Does someone get paid for the articles that are recycled? Well, the city has said that no, nobody is paid for recycling items anymore. There was a time when people were paid for recycling, but that is not the case anymore. That's why contracting with a service like Rumkey to take the recycling away costs money. You know, there were years and years and years where out on Williamsport Road, you used to be able to take your pop cans or whatever you saved, recycle it, and they would give you a certain amount of money. It was never a huge amount of money. I don't think that exists anymore. I think that went by the wayside a long time ago. So there are two listeners' thoughts this morning on recycling and where it should be and where it should go and maybe why the schools would or should not be a part of it. That is an interesting point. I don't know that the schools would get paid for it because they would have to contract with somebody to take the recycling away. And apparently, again, I'm no expert on this, people do not pay for the recycling anymore. I don't think Rumkey pays the city to take away the recycling. I think it's the other way around. So, yeah, you would have to figure all that out. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. How do people feel about the whole recycling bid, and what is a better way to do this, if not taking it to the city and having Rumkey take it away to their recycling center in Westerville? So that's a topic this morning we can discuss. Again, the Dora is a topic we can discuss. Or the flock cameras. What is the middle ground on this flock camera legislation as we head into September the 8th? The death of Tim Curry, death of Dolly Parton, still in the papers this morning. Still a big deal. 53 minutes past the hour this morning, and the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And as I said yesterday, the ground on the Kroger gas station on Route 95 was broken, I believe, on Monday. They are digging there now. Saw that yesterday. And Culver's has the windows in on Route 95. Go ahead, caller.
Loving this city. I forgot to mention about Flock. You know, something needs to be done other than the police or any government entity auditing those who would be accessing the Flock data. They need a disinterested third party, like an accountancy, so that they're completely disinterested. And, you know, that's it. That would be a simple solution so that the public would know and the police would know. They're going to mitigate a lot of shenanigans.
I would be interested to see if that were brought up because, again, just my guess, with the city in fiscal emergency, spending money on something that is not a necessity will probably be vetoed by the board that has been put in place by the state and the mayor. And Joanne Kasotis and the governor.
Probably would, but it would quell the people who are adamantly opposed of the flock cameras as those who are proponents of the flock camera.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a nice idea if the city could afford it, but since that probably
is... Well, you know, I think, Jimmy Walker, the guy who suckered everybody into the strongest town thing, I think we need to get him to find some grant or some kind of program that we could subsidize a disinterested third party to audit the flock cameras.
Well, maybe it could be done that way. You never know.
Maybe. We're better tomorrow.
All right. Again, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. If you have anything you'd like to say, we'd love to hear from you. 55 minutes past the hour here on this Thursday morning, last Thursday in the month of August, almost to the month of September. I believe next Tuesday is September the 1st. How about that? Well, I don't know. I really don't know what the middle ground is going to be on Flock. There's a lot of mistrust, or maybe just flat-out distrust, on people's behalf when it comes to that. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure where that's going to go. But as I was saying, the Kroger gas station on 95 has broken ground, and the windows are in at Culver's on Route 95 in front of Meijer. So those locations seem to be making progress. The Starbucks down here, supposed to be on Delaware Avenue, the freestanding Starbucks, has some construction being done. So that's on its way. They seem to be getting that up rather fast. I believe the retirement community out on University, across from what used to be the dorms, they seem to be making progress there. Things are popping up on that particular site. So a lot of good things going on here in Marion. That's always a positive to talk about the good that is happening around here. And we'll see where it all goes, I guess, in the end. But we are here, and the phone lines are open, and if you want to have your voice heard this morning, feel free. A lot of people did yesterday. We certainly appreciated what everybody said, and the conversation continues here today. 740-383-9944. 57 coming up on 58 minutes past the hour, but it was interesting to see the front page of the Marion Star this morning in the gas station, the Duke on 95, with the headline, Flock Veto Stands. So, what compromises can be made at this particular point? I guess we'll find out. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, how are we doing this
morning? Hey, doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I just wanted to, that Dora, I don't know much about it in downtown Marion, but my wife and I go up to Upper Sandusky on the last Saturday of every month. They have, like, these old cars, and they shoot the loop, and it's nice because we can get a dinner and then take our beer out and sit in, on the sidewalk in lawn chairs and watch, you know, the old cars shoot the loop. It's pretty neat.
Now, do you know how big the Dora is in Upper Sandusky?
I just know that the main downtown three blocks, I know I've walked that with a beer in my hand, but I don't know exactly how far it goes.
Yeah.
But it seems like everybody up there is respectful with it. But then again, I'm only there one night a month, so.
Well, and it seems to me the conversation that is happening in downtown Marion is that a lot of the business owners, I guess, were not consulted. The Dora is a fairly big area in downtown Marion, and I guess there were also some churches that were a part or pretty close to being a part of the Dora, and I think that's where this conversation has started, because a lot of these churches have recovery meetings in them.
Yeah, it's a little different situation up there, because I don't recall seeing any church, you know, within that area. And, you know, it's nice if you had activities, like they do the third Thursday, that's the only one I could really think of, but if they had little activities like that, shoot the loop, you know, and it's almost like a mini popcorn festival. They're lined up, you know, in lawn chairs on both sides of the street. It's really neat, and I've never really seen any issues up there, so.
Well, and I will say, Jay McDonald said Monday, he was asked, has there ever been an issue with the Dora to where the police had to get involved, and he said no. And it's been around for a few years, so it must not cause a problem that the police would have to intervene.
Yeah, and I think as far as going, people talking about taking your beer to your car, I mean, you can do that anywhere you want if you want to get in trouble. I mean, you can sneak your beer inside pocket of your coat. I mean, people are going to do that if they want to do it. So I don't see any problem with the Dora if you have any kind of respect and dignity for your town. I mean, I'm all for it, so.
Well, and I think you're right, and I think you make some good points. And I think originally, now I could be wrong, but I think because of the development of Founders Park and they put the band shelter in there, I think the idea was that that was going to be used a lot more for events than it is. I don't think it's used for a lot of events, or at least that I'm not aware of. And that was included in the Dora, and I think that was the main objective off the bat. But it's my understanding it extends I know the Historical Society is part of the Dora, but apparently they like it because people can take their beverages in there if they're going to an Historical Society event.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like anything else. Some people are not going to like it coming in their business, and some people are going to like it. I don't want to steer people away from Marion, but I recommend the last Saturday of every month, which this Saturday, it's pretty neat up in Upper Sandusky. It's a good time.
Hey, Upper's got a great downtown. They've got some great restaurants down there, and they've got that great great courthouse, which was used in the Shawshank Redemption, which is something people love to come see.
Yeah, that's where we park, right there. So.
Yeah, yep, you got. Well, hey, you make a lot of good points. Thanks for calling.
Yep, have a good day, Scott.
You too, bye-bye. All right, we got to take a break, but we're coming back after this news break, weather break, about 15 minutes. Come back and join us, 740-383-9944.
Looked at Benson. Now, he was a housekeeper, but mm-hmm. Who was he to you?
Well, he was my grandmother, for one thing. My grandmother had worked in white people's houses